You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Hawk Attack!
Please rise. This initial meeting of the Around the NFL Fork Committee will now come to order. Please reply present for roll call. Dan Hanses.
Present.
Colleen Wolf.
Present.
Greg Rosenthal.
Yeah, I guess so.
Please be seated as we turn the floor over to the Honorable Chairperson, Ol Zuzzer.
Thank you very much.
You can die, by the way.
We have a quorum here. Are there any corrections to the roll call? Sir?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's I am also here or I can leave. Happy to do so, but I thought I came here with a purpose to...
Cessdog. Cessdog.
All right. That's better.
Cessdog?
That's fine, but that's just, you know, the level of disrespect is outrageous.
Cessdog is
not present.
There we go. All right. Let's get to it. I call this meeting to order as chairperson of Around the NFL Fork Committee, the old Zuzzer. This is the initial Around the NFL Fork Committee voting. We will, as we do every year, open up the floor to all present, including you, Mark, to nominate...
Mark's going to murder someone.
To nominate various teams that... And this is very important. I want to make this very clear to the floor. Teams that aren't mathematically eliminated from the postseason, however, we have deemed as a group to have no opportunity, no chance to make the postseason. Are there any questions before we get into the proceedings?
No questions.
Here
for me.
Forth.
Your Honor? Is that what we're doing?
Is it? I don't think so. Don't Chairperson. Okay. Chairperson works.
Just a layperson. You're a civilian.
All right. First, we'll now move on to unfinished business. At the last meeting, as we check the minutes, Ms. Wolf, I believe you had sought to reverse the findings and the results of the Week 6 matchup between the New York Jets and the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you wish to carry on that submission?
I guess we could table it for now, but I still have a lot of problems. I got a lot of problems with that game.
All right, we will table that. How about one more from Ms. Wolf to change the term home runs to Schwarbombs?
Yes, please. Okay. Would love that.
All that would like to carry that motion, say yay.
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 Yay. Okay. Yay. Why
All right.
not?
Go Phils.
All right.
Gotta check
Why
out
am
that,
I getting a thumbs down?
Gotta get check
Randy.
Out that sweatshirt on the YouTube.
The meeting is now open for new business. It has been moved and seconded to that Is there any further discussion before we get into today's business?
One question. If we fork a team, do we still report on them? Do we have to pay any attention to them or watch any of their contests?
I defer to Mr. Rosenthal.
Absolutely. We're all professionals here. We've got 32 teams to cover.
Lighten the load a little.
Also, we're almost always wrong about one of the teams, and there's no way to know which one that is ahead of time.
How do you pay for that?
Yeah, by paying a charity. Jacksonville got hooked up last year.
Excuse me, Big Funk behind the glass. Is there something I could use as some type of gavel, even if we don't have one physically in hand? Is there something back there that would be helpful for today's proceedings? All right, while we do that, I now open the floor to Ms. Wolf with the first fork recommendation.
Oh, okay, great. Mr. Chairperson.
Okay, Ms. Wolf, the floor is yours. Yes.
Thank you. Well, gentlemen, ladies, everyone here, I propose to fork not just one team, but an entire division.
What? Well, that's... Okay.
Ma'am, we will have decorum here on the floor.
NFC South must go.
Okay.
Order.
They house
This is a big swing by Ms. Wolf to open today's proceeding.
Definitely someone who's never been involved with the fork committee. I just want to bring up,
thank you very much,
ma'am, how would you answer to the charge, the fact that one of these teams will make the playoffs by NFL rule?
I don't think that rule should exist
any
longer. Okay. And I would like that to be changed as well.
All in favor of Ms. Wolf's recommendation, say yay. All opposed, nay.
Nay.
Boo.
Nay.
Boo.
I mean, we've got three teams that are 3-3. We got two teams, the Saints and the Bucks, that are better than average. I'm not saying they're great.
The Saints were just 1-3, and they won against a winless Panthers team and a tragic Titans team by 1 point.
Will you let me finish my statement?
Order.
ow.
Oh my
the
God.
Stapler could injure me potentially.
Just all I was going to say, better than average by DVOA. This is a way to take the emotions out of it. They're ranked 13th and 15th. Nothing too exciting, but teams to eliminate after 6 weeks, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all.
There is fork content in this division. There's no question about that.
Sure.
But all you're really doing is setting up that you personally would need to provide a charity to one of these other cities that wins the division. Greg gave $20,000 to the city of Jacksonville, so I hope you'd be willing to match
so
that or do more.
Not
generous.
Not
true.
Absolutely. I'm ready. I'm ready for that.
All the
no
children
problem.
That Greg helped in Jacksonville or in the realm around Jacksonville, they will never forget Greg.
I believe, Ms. Wolf, what you might be hitting on here is something that I know, Mark, you've talked about on the show before. Growing tired with teams that have no real chance to be actual Super Bowl contenders. So what's the point? However, that is not what today's proceedings is about. These proceedings are about who are teams that this, as we enter week 7, already in our minds have no chance of making the postseason. So I'll now turn over the floor to Mr. Rosenthal.
Well, let's do the Panthers here, because I am a little worried. We've got a handful of teams that are just obvious. And I don't know about the other teams, because there's a lot of these 3-3 teams like the Falcons, who to me are very disappointing. The Saints, who I don't believe will go anywhere ultimately. But because it's the NFL, they'll find their way to get to 8-9 wins. And then we have some obvious teams that are done. And one of those teams is the only winless team in the NFL. It's the Carolina Panthers.
All in favor of forking the Carolina Panthers at 0-6, say yay.
Yay.
Yay. All opposed? All right, we carry that motion. The Panthers have been forked.
Let's
stick a fork in them.
Thank you, Dave Damashek. That was perfect.
From the Pacers.
You know, this is an exciting time as someone who drafted the Panthers under 7.5 wins as his first round draft pick.
Sir, can we keep personal branding out of the proceedings?
It's all, the whole show is branding. Frank Reich this week.
Reveal Magnifico.
The show Frank Reich gave up offensive play calling this week. So maybe Thomas Brown, who came from the Rams, can help turn things around, because it was a sad way to go out for Frank Reich last week as a play caller.
I've been hard on Frank Reich, and at this point, I have no problem with the fact that that's occurred, because, like, why did you hire Frank Reich? I mean, for multiple reasons. Like, I organizationally, I get it. He's like the offensive version of Ron Rivera. That's fine, but like, you're not calling plays. What are you doing? What's going on here? You ceded that gift of yours. That's why you were hired. And it's not even Halloween.
Do we really believe in any of the skill position players, though, that they have?
No.
That Frank
in a,
Reich
they're
is...
in a hardcore rebuild. And
no, this is, you know, the quarterback. Sneaky.
It's not all on Frank Reich.
No, I don't think so. And this was a big story, relatively, for, you know, for any Panther story, that he gave up his play calling. But he actually had telegraphed this audibly throughout the season to his players, and even before the season, that at some point he's probably going to hand it over to Thomas Brown, who's kind of a young up-and-coming coach. So they got to mix up something. And by the way, Bryce Young coming off his best game of the season, I'd say.
You're 0-6. You're the head coach, and he probably wants to have a – this is coach speak, but a more global presence. So he's trying to mix things up. I wouldn't read into it too much, other than he's a coach that knows the ship is sinking.
Or his meddling owner made him do it, just like he reportedly made him take Bryce Young.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if the owner told him he had to give up play calling, but who knows? We talked about what he said in those meetings.
Right, exactly.
During our live show, we hoisted up Frank Reich in this whole situation as a bit of a flashpoint, potential flashpoint.
There you go.
And days later, he's not calling. You mean you. Me, but I don't need to brand myself the whole show.
That's what it's all about, according to Greg.
What are we even talking about here?
All right.
Chairman.
Yes.
Can I just fork one? Floor. Can I just fork one team then, since my opportunity was taken away?
Next round.
Well, you tried. Go for it.
Wait, excuse me, sir.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Rosenthal.
Excuse yourself, sir.
You're going to have to wait, Ms. Wolve, after your outburst to start the proceedings. We're going to go over to Mr. Sessler.
I have no patience, though.
Go ahead, Mr. Sessler. The floor is yours. Apologies for the attendance roll call earlier. That was an unfortunate oversight.
I totally believe you.
Thank you.
out on the horizon.
Cut that as a drop.
Out on the horizon, I see a jumbled apocalypse unfolding. It's delicious. I'm enjoying it more and more with every day. Not only would you put one fork into this mess, you could put every fork found in New England. Because they don't need to eat anymore. They've been eating for 20 plus years. No more dinners.
Gorging.
Lunches. No more snacks, no more midnight snacks, no alcohol, no tobacco. Put them in a coffin. The Patriots under Bill Belichick are a total disaster. It is unbelievable to watch that this is the team that Bill Belichick built and is now currently losing complete grip over. Keep hiring your friends. Keep bringing the old players back onto the roster. This is not a rebuild. This is a check you later in about 4 or 5 years.
All right, all in favor of forking the New England Patriots, say yay.
Yay.
Yay. All in favor, say nay. Okay, that carries it. The Patriots, for the first time, I would imagine, ever in this exercise, have been forked. And a reminder.
Stick a fork.
A reminder that this must be unanimous to fork a team. All right.
This is an early meeting of the committee.
Is it my turn now?
By the way.
Yes, it is. Ms. Wolf, the floor is yours.
Okay. If I can't fork an entire division, then let me fork the Falcons. The Falcons right now.
What's going on here?
Ma'am, have you been taking some type of mind-expanding agent?
Let the woman speak.
Wait, why?
Let's hear it.
We forked the Panthers, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So why can't we fork the
Falcons? In theory, you could. Let's hear why.
You could pick any team.
I don't believe in their quarterback. He refuses to throw downfield. Their head coach refuses to get the ball to their basketball players that they spent top 10 picks on. They have a 30th scoring offense right now with players like Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. It's inexcusable. They're not going anywhere. I don't believe in them.
Okay. Now, thank you, Ms. Wolf. My issue is they're a half game out of first place. They play in a bad division, and there are, like you said, pieces in place there that I believe, whether I want to see them or not, hanging around, because they frustrate me in the same way you're frustrated. They will be playing relevant December football, and if a team in my mind is playing relevant December football, I am not forking them on October 18th.
So your pecking order, we at least know that the Panthers, you agreed to fork them, and the next would be that you dislike are obviously the Falcons.
Yes.
my problem is if you're going to fork an entire division in your theory, like it sort of suggests that any one of them could bubble up and win the division. And I actually trust I don't trust the Falcons globally at all, but I trust them more than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'd probably put the Saints as the number one team in that division, but I don't trust their offense on any level. It's like the Falcons win weird games. They're just weird. They could win 8 games and win this division. So it feels perilous to like assume that any one of these any one of these 3 teams outside of the Panthers are all automatically gone.
All in favor of forking the Atlanta Falcons, say yay.
Yay, come on over, join me. Hey, it's a party over here.
All opposed, nay?
Nay. They have been the worst of those 3 teams.
What if Taylor Heinicke replaces Desmond Ritter?
That might help.
I mean. Like, yeah. Maybe. That's maybe will. Then, maybe
and,
then I change
and
my
he will. Mind. For what it's worth, like, you know, Drake London and Kyle Pitts have had the best 2-game stretch they've ever had together the last 2 weeks. It's not leading to wins. This is a bad team. They're 26th in DVOA. They look like a bad team, but this is a bad division. It's a long season. Not giving up on them.
That game on Sunday was a tough watch for Ritter down the stretch there. Yeah. All right, let me nominate one as chairperson. The Denver Broncos, they are 1-5. They have one of the worst historical defeats in the history of the sport. They have coming up Packers, Chiefs, Bills, Vikings, Browns. I see no path back to playoff relevance for the Denver Broncos, and for that reason, I nominate the Denver Broncos for the fork. All in favor say yay.
Yay. Yay.
That carries it. Broncos out.
Stick a fork in them.
All right, that's 3.
I mean, the AFC is so deep that I feel more comfortable than ever forking teams this early. Although we've gotten rid of the two obvious ones. There's a lot of teams to try to pass in the AFC.
All right, Mr. Rosenthal.
Let's go to East Rutherford, where I'm going to bring up another team that I drafted the under in the over-under draft. The New York Football.
It's such a gripping up.
Giants. 1-5. the rain's coming down on over-under. You know, no. They're not getting to 7.5. I don't think they're getting to 6. They could improve at points in the season, but there is no route through to these NFC playoffs. Which I think the 7th seed, the bar is a little lower than the AFC, so it's, I think, a little trickier to fork teams in the NFC. But the Giants are too lackluster on both of their lines. They're going to
all in favor of forking the New York Giants. Say yay.
Yay.
Yay. Yay.
All.
Yay.
Nay.
Nay. You're not doing it.
No.
What?
You see a pathway back in a bad NFC.
I think I saw a lot in Buffalo. I saw a team that bottomed out with some tough opponents on their schedule. I saw a team that had a really good 2022 season, and that's, of course, ancient history. But I don't think it's impossible that this team could crawl out of this hole and be maybe in the mix and near 500 in December. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but we got Commanders, Jets, at Raiders, at Cowboys, at Commanders versus Patriots the next 5 weeks. I understand they need to win at least 3 of those games. And while it's unlikely,
They got to win 5. They're 1-5.
Right. I'm just saying they have to at least win 3 of those games to even be in the realm of possibility. Is it likely? No. But I'm just not ready to go there yet.
And there are multiple occasions when we do this exercise, at least the first time through every year, where someone like you saves us from all being wrong about someone. Feels like a long shot. But I'm with you. Like, we were all a little bit mentally shot on Sunday night or Monday. Yeah, Sunday night when we watched that Giants-Bills game at like 3 in the morning in London. But they looked like
it doesn't matter. They've been outscored by 96 points. Every team has a good week. If you're going to have a good week, you better win that week.
Right.
Their next three quarterbacks are Sam Howell, Zach Wilson, and Brian Hoyer.
Well, better be Aiden O'Connell.
Aiden O'Connell? They know
what probably would be Jimmy G based on the injury.
Their
reports,
only win is we'll against see. The Cardinals.
Yes, I understand that. It was a pretty brutal early schedule. Cowboys at the height of their week one powers at San Francisco, Seahawks, Dolphins,
but they weren't
Bills.
Competitive.
I know.
Any of
that
them
is
except
rough.
For one.
That's a bad schedule, though. I'm just saying they were exposed by the best teams in the league, and now they're going to start playing some of the teams that are in the tier below, and I'm just saying.
If they got to 7-10 you know, they'd have to go 6-5 the rest of the way. I mean, I would love to put a sandwich on them not going 6-5 the rest of the way.
I don't think
that only gets
insane.
Up to 7-10. Well, that only gets up to 7-10, which is not, you know, which is forkable. 7-10, you forked.
All right. Mr. Sessler.
Forked is what I said.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go somewhere a little spicier, I think.
Okay.
We saw this team in person. You know, when you're up close, you see things you don't see if you're watching on television.
Well, this is a little
pounded with a bunch of Burger King ads. They're totally tedious. The Titans, check you later. I mean, I don't care if Ryan Tannehill is in there or not. I think the Titans do a number of things well. They're not consistently doing them well, though, and they disappear for games at a time. Derrick Henry still has these moments. I like Mike Vrabel a lot and feel like they're not going to miss the playoffs. That's the point here. They're not making the playoffs. Do I think they can go be a little bit of a berserker? Maybe so, but especially if Ryan Tannehill's out for a significant amount of time. Malik Willis looks completely lost to me. I think Will Levis will be in there soon enough. I think the coaching staff did not buy in on Malik Willis a year ago when they went and got Josh Dobbs, you know, a fortnight before they were in playoff action. It's like Malik Willis to me, and we saw this in person, just like he looks like, and I think Zach Wilson has played much better in the last couple of weeks, but when you got the bad version of Zach Wilson and he's scrambling around and he's not seeing the field and he's getting killed, it's like just the young quarterback that's not ready to be in there. And Malik Willis, I think he's mobile, he's athletic, but that's only half the battle, and I think they're a sitting duck.
Upcoming schedule, they are 2-4. That puts them, I believe, two games out in their division. Home against Falcons, they have a bye week, by the way, with Ryan Tannehill injured with the ankle. It could be an injury that lingers beyond the bye, but they are on their bye. Home Falcons at Pittsburgh, at Tampa Bay, at Jacksonville, home Panthers next 5 weeks. All in favor of forking the Tennessee Titans. Say yay.
Yay.
All opposed? Nay?
Nay.
Nay.
Hmm.
You didn't vote your own.
Oh, yay. Yeah. I mean,
he got dropped in a big
spot. Greg, I think we're on the same page, most likely, that the division is still a little bit wonky, that there's a pedigree here, that the schedule's not overwhelming. And the idea is not that the Titans are some hotshot team, but more that are they a team that will find a way to maybe survive these next few weeks and still be hanging around by the time we get to December.
Yeah, it's too bold. I believe in the organization just finding a way when you least expect it. I hear you on Malik Willis. Most of those sacks, the pressure, someone did a stat on it, came in less than 2.5 seconds. He was, you know, the only quarterback that struggled more on Sunday was Ryan Tannehill. And so that was a disaster for the Titans, but I could just see them, like Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Carolina. You got the Colts. You got the division games. Just, I don't know. I can just see them being annoyingly in the mix in like week 16.
All right. Ms. Wolf.
All right.
The floor is yours.
I'm really, really, really sorry about this, Chicago, but
they know it's coming.
Yeah, it was great when they beat the Commanders. Everything seemed like it was positive, looking up for at least like a moment in time. But, you know, now Justin Fields, his thumb is a disaster. He's doubtful for Sunday. It's just, you know, Tyler Bagent came in and actually kind of looked pretty decent in that game that they lost, but it's just you gotta go. They lost to the Packers, the Bucks, the Broncos. That's really bad.
All right, all in favor of forking the Chicago Bears at 1-5. I don't even know if I need to tell you the next 5 weeks, but I will anyway. Home Raiders at Chargers at Saints, home Panthers at Detroit. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Yay. What happened to yay?
Yay.
Point of order. Point of order.
Yes, sir.
Why did you change from yay to aye?
I forgot.
You have immense power and you used it.
Yes. My apologies to the court.
Yeah.
And I never seek to disrespect the court. And I did there and I apologize.
Moment of growth. It's
all opposed. All right. Chicago Bears. That's 4.
They gone.
All right. This one, I have a feeling there's going to be some pushback on this one from one member of the committee, but this team is 1-5. This team may be outperforming preseason expectations, but they are still not a overly competitive bunch in the second half of games the last 3 weeks. They have lost 5 of 6 games. They are in a division with really 3 potential playoff teams. They are the Arizona Cardinals. Their next 5 opponents at Seattle, home Ravens, at Cleveland, home Falcons, at Texans, home Rams. That's their next 5 opponents. I believe this team has no chance of making the playoffs, so I nominate the Arizona Cardinals. All in favor of forking the cards?
Yay.
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 Can I offer one counterpoint?
Well,
they've opened the practice window for Kyler Murray, and he should be back soon.
All in favor? All opposed?
I have one one request.
All right, the floor is Mr. Sessler.
So thank you.
Would you like to suspend the vote temporarily?
That's what I would like to do, but I'm willing to go along with you because I think the fact that the Rams are way better than people thought, Seattle, and the Niners, you're not getting out of your own division without being essentially fourth place. So I'd logically agree with you, but I want to pick the organization that if they make the playoffs in a weird world, I would pick the organization that you must give $20,000 to.
Sure. I feel fine with that. All in favor of forking the Arizona Cardinals, say aye, yay, whatever.
Aye, yay.
All right, the Cardinals
aye,
are done.
Aye.
Stick a fork in.
All right, Mr. Rosenthal, as we wind down proceedings, is there any other teams that you seek to nominate?
No.
Mr. Sessler.
I really want to say to the Minnesota Vikings, I don't believe you're going to the playoffs on any level of my human body. So it's not going through. I understand how this exercise works, but I want to say right now that I nominate them. The Minnesota Vikings, don't believe it. Don't buy into it. Don't want to see it.
All right. All in favor of forking the Minnesota Vikings, say yay. All opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Try to push that legislation through.
I mean, they are about to lose to the 49ers.
Well, and they don't thought have, the 49ers are going to stop well, their they, opponent last
they
week,
They don't
too.
Have Justin well, Jefferson. It is concerning. But to me, they're slightly better than they were a year ago, on balance, if Justin Jefferson is on the field. And so can the luck that they're not getting this year completely flip and they go on a run to get to 9 wins, which has them playing meaningful games week 18, I think.
They have the Broncos still on the schedule. They have the Bears. They have the Falcons.
They have the AFC South for the most games. Part, yeah.
All right, the next 5 opponents for the Vikings, home Niners, at Green Bay, at Atlanta, home New Orleans, at Denver, home Bears.
Ooh, that's pretty.
They'll win 2 of those.
That's an easy schedule other than the 49ers.
All right, Ms. Wolf, any teams to nominate on your behalf?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, then, if there is no other business, we can adjourn this meeting. Of the four committee, and may I have the eulogy theme, please, as is our custom once we reach.
So much more organized than in years past.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Come on. The Carolina Panthers, the New England Patriots, the Denver Broncos, Gaggle Bears, Arizona Cardinals. You have no chance of making the 2023-24 NFL postseason.
But keep listening to the show, please.
Banshees of Inisherin, very much. You.
All right, we'll be right back with some news and Week 7 previews.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Business is taken care of, and now we'll hit the rest of the show. Starting with some news.
102, take two. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French. Ah, the French champagne.
Can I tell you something? I talked to someone who has been convinced for half a decade that oh, is Wes, or was Wes. And I was like, no, that's actually Orson Welles from a drunken champagne commercial that took about 25 takes.
Right. Please seek it out, and a shout out to Place Boing on YouTube for that fantastic remix.
that was really good.
By the way, that song, that's just getting warmed up. There's some wild stuff going on in that remix.
Well, having seen the clip, I'm not surprised. He's with a couple who look like, by the end of it, they look...
Oh, like
I gotta check this out after the show.
You gotta, great. Yeah.
They're in a shell of them for themselves. All right, let's get to it. Starting with Hamana Hamana Anthony Richardson. Ah, what a bummer. Sometimes I feel like I curse the man. I was so excited about this young first round pick, his ability to change. Once upon a time, as Wes himself often said, Peyton Manning was credited with changing the skyline of Indianapolis. I thought Anthony Richardson could change this Colts franchise as soon as this year, but it looks like we're going to have to wait because that shoulder injury he suffered in week 5 is serious enough that it appears now, or it's official, that he is going to undergo a procedure most likely, and his season is over. Here is Shane Steichen, Colts head coach, on his rookie phenom.
I'll start off just confirming that Anthony will have season-ending shoulder surgery.
Shoulder surgery is tough to say.
And talking to all the doctors, getting as much information as we could. This is the best thing for him and this franchise moving forward so we can get him healthy for next season. You take a guy at fourth overall, a tremendous competitor, great player. The longevity of him needs to be at a premium. So this is the best thing for him moving forward.
It stinks. It sucks. And I think, you know, hopefully he gets right. And more hope on the idea, Mark, that this was just a star-crossed rookie campaign and not the start or a harbinger of things to come for Richardson, who, yes, he suffered that injury in his last appearance of the season, but he was hurt routinely in the other weeks as well. So it was just a really frustrating campaign over 4 weeks.
Yeah, it was sort of dotted all over the body. They lost him at the end of the opener with a left knee injury. Got a concussion. I don't think that's, you know, that's sort of separate from other type of injuries in my book. But that sidelined him for a week plus. And,
well, he took a lick on a scramble for
a touchdown. That's the thing. It's the nature of his game that's like, these things are happening because of what he's able to do and why he's special. And then the shoulder injury, the thing I still, like, if you're a Colts fan, like, it sucks this year because I think there was another parallel universe where, like, they became, like, the team of ATL because of Richardson and because they're spicy and because of Shane Steichen and, like...
I had my eyes on that. I was ready to pitch.
I know, and you picked him as your, like, you sort of were lobbying for him as a better chance to win Offensive Rookie of the Year than C.J. Stroud in the end. I thought if I'm a Colts fan, though, it's, like, the special things that you saw... Yes, it's deferred until next season. You still have him. And like I think he was already showing that he could pass the ball. Like, yes, his completion percentage was a little wonky, but it's like that's the one thing you can improve as a pro quarterback going from year one to two to three. And I think there's just so much hope with what he can do and what he showed that ride out this year with Gardner Minshew. I don't like him throwing 55 passes last week. I know it was part of the game. I don't like Jonathan Taylor running for 19 yards off 8 carries. That's not delightful. But there is real hope because you have this quarterback for the next 3+ years.
Yeah, his skill set throwing the ball, I think, was further ahead than anyone expected. Maybe we shouldn't have been because he was surrounded by such slop at Florida. He's only a 21-year-old kid, and he's got such great pocket movement. Movement in the pocket, buying time to throw the ball, keeping his eyes downfield, like moving between progressions. Like, he's a real deal quarterback with extraordinary rushing ability. You just have to worry about his durability because each one, like the concussion was kind of a strange one. Like, he got hit late in that play where he let up. I mean, it wasn't like a hard hit. The shoulder injury is obviously concerning, but he's only going to be 22 years old next year. And I think if you're a Colts fan, you feel better about their long-term future than you have since Andrew Luck retired. And yet you have to waste, the next 12 weeks or convince yourself that this could be fun. And maybe it'll be fun if they win 8 games with Gardner Minshew, but it's kind of they're kind of wasting their time.
Maybe they learned something from Andrew Luck and that's why they're just going ahead and shutting him down.
That's a good point,
and preserving
Mark.
Him for like the future. Colleen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know we look alike though.
I don't think so.
But those like 6 quarters that he played in, like he definitely showed some promise, especially in that overtime loss to the Rams. Like that was a really good game. He did not look like a player who only started a handful of games.
That was the only game he finished. Isn't that crazy? He played 4 games and I'm glad he brought it up because that was the point I was going to button it up with Connie that they're down 23-0 in that game at Lucas Oil Stadium. The place is a mausoleum. It's dead. And what happens? He puts that team on his back and puts up 2 touchdowns late with 2-point conversions to tie it. They fall in overtime. But at that point, it felt like anything was possible with that team playing in that division. So it's such a bummer.
Hell, week one, he was very impressive. I know he missed like the last 2 snaps of that game, but he looked great right off the bat.
I think one other thing you have real quick is like – I think Shane Steichen is like, I just had this feeling he's going to be the real deal. And so no matter, like, you can navigate through this season, but it's like the 2 of them together. I like it better than Richardson with someone else.
And because of like what he did too with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Shane
Steichen. It was unnecessary, but we could have forked them today in my mind, but I didn't.
Wow.
It was unnecessary. But
in that division with we're not doing it to the other team in the division.
I would not, if it makes you feel better, Mark, seem upset.
No,
I would not have carried that vote.
That's what I mean. Logic to a spicy cold.
Well, that's what I mean. I didn't want to bother to waste everyone's time, but I feel very confident they're not making.
Was that a shot at Colleen for nominating an entire division?
I stand by it. I'm still sticking with the NFC South's got to go.
I mean, they're getting lots of bad news.
In other Colts news, defensive tackle Grover Stewart, who started every game for them, he'll be out the next 6 weeks. He violated the league's PED. Policy, and this is crazy. Now, if you're out 6 games, that takes you all the way to week 14 in the case of the Colts. So,
I mean, he's one of the 6 or 7 best players on that team, I would say. The only thing to me that makes them special, certainly defensively, is their defensive tackle combo, him and Buckner, and now you're without him.
In other news, Commissioner Roger Goodell has agreed to a new contract with the league that takes it through March of 2027. The NFL announced this on Wednesday. Goodell, he's 64 years old now.
Wow.
Looks good for 64. Let's be real here.
Great. For 64. He's yoked. Has served as commissioner since 2006 when he was elected to replace the retiring Paul Tagliabue. So let's do some math here. Yeah, he'll be entering his 7th decade by the time this contract tolls.
Wow.
And that is a pretty wild run for anyone in the major sports if he indeed ends it after this upcoming contract. But you never know. He seems to enjoy the job.
Well, we've heard with his last 3 contracts now that it was his last contract. So, but it's hard to step down. And
good money, too.
I do hope he appreciates the letter of recommendation that I sent unbidden to the NFL league office and to the ownership committee, and I just hope he remembers that when our contracts are up.
You are the ultimate company man, then.
We share a birthday. Your support behind Rob.
Me, Wes, and Roger Goodell, and I think that's really bonded us over the years.
That's beautiful.
And here's a little tidbit. He began his NFL tenure in 1982 as an intern in the league office under Pete Rozelle.
Okay, that's wild. That's crazy.
Wow.
That predates the tiny box entirely.
It does.
Yeah.
That's your prom day, right, Mark?
Who's my prom date?
No, just that
Goodell?
Day.
You took Goodell day. To the prom?
It was, June 24th, 1982.
Early elementary school. But that's kind of like that picture where like a young Bill Clinton is shaking hands with JFK.
Right.
You were interning for Roger Goodell and then become the commissioner?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Interesting life journey.
Finally, in the news, this is really interesting. Flag football. Whoa, Greggy, we got an issue here. Because I had to do a double take. I'm reading this off The Athletic, which does great coverage of the National Football League. This article is written in a co-byline. One, Torrey Hart.
Great job, Torrey.
Solid name. And Greg Rosenstein.
Wow. Mm. Two G's or one?
One G. Mm. Well, two G's total.
Right.
He is 50% G.
That Greg was created by AI.
What?
Is this you? Are you working a hustle here? A slight tweak to your surname.
Bump up that 39 on the state mandated math test with that quick 50% work. I support all the Greg Rosensteins and Rosenthals out there. Let's go, Jewish Gregs.
Yes, flag football will be part of the 2028 Olympic Games in Los Angeles. After it was approved Monday in a vote by the International Olympic Committee, it joins other new sports, including, there's some Connecticut-level sports here. Squash.
What does that mean?
A little posh.
Why is that Connecticut?
Lacrosse were officially added. Baseball and softball and cricket were greenlit to return. Cricket, Handsome Hank will be happy about that.
Hmm.
I want to share one thing about this. First of all, interesting. Flag football is an Olympic sport. And you know what? The Olympics, guys, it's good. We got to mix things up a little bit. I don't know about society.
It's lost a little juice now that there's like 4,000 online channels to watch 5 billion
shows.
Do
we need another Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding scandal?
Why does this wouldn't keep it be the worst thing? Up?
That would be spicy.
Why?
Why?
I love the Olympics.
Why me?
I'm so excited about this.
Well, you are a retired, but also you've come out of retirement, I believe, figure skater.
That's correct.
Competitively in your youth.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing some like type of like old woman competitions for skating.
Yeah, you should. Didn't you get up at like 3 a.m. to practice all those?
Before and after school, I'd turn the lights on at the rink. Because like if you get there first, then you could be the person that turned on the music. So that was always my motivating factor.
So if it was like to get the fresh ice.
Sounds peaceful.
Uh-huh. If it was like an Aunt Doreen return to the
ice.
Oh
my God.
Is it... I picture like Flappers era music. That's part of your routine.
Or we could do like a Billy Joel situation.
Okay, I was going back a little further than Joel. But you were saying like a little Uptown Girl, something like that. Woman, excuse me.
Right. I do like Flapper though. Maybe you know what? Maybe we'll have a vote.
Oh, let's workshop.
This is an experienced.
A big.
Are we calling to order? Aunt Doreen's return to the. To the ice.
It's a big choice for who's going to coach this team. I don't know. I don't think they can make this sort of sandwich prop or whatever, but I'm just going to say it. Like, if the United States does not win the first ever gold medal in flag football, I feel like the entire rest of the United States delegation shouldn't be allowed to play in the following.
No, this is the point that I wanted to make, Greg. What you're saying, let's not mess around. Remember when we were doing that thing where we were sending our college kids to play sports like basketball.
Well, that's
and
where
baseball.
The dream team came from.
And then we were losing. We were losing. And it was just like, well, no. And then the dream team came.
Yeah.
I want Justin Jefferson on this team.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I want Patrick Mahomes on this team. I want Sauce Gardner on this team. I want Aiden Hutchinson on this team.
Yeah.
I want to send a message to the world.
I think you're going
to
be disappointed in
that
all
flag
these
football is sports. Our domain. I'm not sending some, high school tournament champion to represent us, and then we lose, and then the old USC, give me some America music here, give me something patriotic, and then old America heads back, where are the Olympics, where is this one?
They're in LA, that's why they gave it
in
to
our
us.
Own homeland!
Across the street!
Oh,
this what? Is amazing
this
music.
This is patriotic? There it is.
A little better.
A quick search for patriotic pulls up some stuff.
I'll tell you what. Whole America ain't walking back out of L.A. with our tail between our legs. We will be triumphant with some of the most gnarly blowouts competitive sports have ever seen. We will not be denied in the flag football category of the Olympics. We're taking the gold.
Well, when do they take place? It's usually like in like mid to late August. That's so you these players would be dissolved from the preseason.
We don't need the preseason anyway.
I'm on board. I think if anything, it's gotten your. I haven't heard you this zealous about the Olympics in my entire friendship.
2028. Like, who knows what's going to be happening?
I think.
Let's see if we even get there.
Flag is a completely different sport than football. It is quite different. We're not getting any NFL players in there, but UK is coming for us, and so we got to be careful. They do a lot of flag. Their lead high school we had mentioned last year, or like their NFL academy, just took out pretty much one of the top NFL high schools in the country.
Oh yeah, I was watching that game.
You're making my point for
me,
Greg.
I'm just saying, we gotta step up.
Roberts, give me my music back. We are not sending some high school team to goddamn SoFi Stadium for the flag football Olympics. We're sending Cooper f***ing Cup.
Yeah.
Who we are sending, who do we want to send? Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Detonate the competition.
And then you could bring, Slovenia could send over their combatants, and we will disgrace them.
I can't wait for you to be the coach.
That Manning
Andy
child
Reid will be the coach.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan will be the offensive coordinator.
Oh,
Belichick will be special teams coach.
Honorary.
Wow.
Honorary Sultan. Title. Assistant to the special teams coach.
Get his Don Shula record during that event.
Do you see it all, Greg? What I'm just saying, like that. Come on now.
Oh, they need to take it seriously, and there's a chance because these sports sometimes they almost give a little present for when you're the home. It might be a one-time deal. I want flag football to be an Olympic sport forever, but it would be truly sad to lose the only flag football gold medal.
We're not gonna.
That's not gonna happen.
France, come on!
France really
hit
put
the music.
Because we are America, and we invented this sport. And yes, rugby was the DNA, and you could go where you got to go for that. But the game, the gridiron with Vince Lombardi and all that shit, that was here in America.
You're defending the middle of the honor.
Some bad news, though. Breakdance, which is making its Olympic debut in Paris next year. Not coming back.
Oofah.
What?
Breakdance.
We haven't even seen it yet, and it's already done?
And that's the other thing.
Why is that being launched 40 years too late?
There's no guess. Exactly. Maybe that takes that long for it to gestate, the Olympic Committee. But we can't take the risk, Greg, of it being a one-and-done situation for
five. I think, Cup's going to be 35 by then. We're going to have we're going to do some scouting. I want a lot of jitterbug types, like a Tank Dell, in flag football.
Okay.
Do we want Buck and Aikman on the call?
Well, we're not going to let someone from another country call it.
It is an NBC.
It doesn't extend to anyone.
It is an NBC event, so it very well might be Tirico and Collinsworth. Mm. There you go.
Did you see that on Monday Night Football? Troy Aikman, he met the online discourse head on and acknowledged that there's a meme going around that people think that he looks like Jay-Z.
No!
And Jay-Z looks like Troy Aikman.
Well, that was Pablo Torre on his podcast. He asked them about it, and that became a big thing last week. It was a nice breaking news.
Right.
I think he's following that up. Good job by Pablo.
He's
asking the tough questions.
Jay-Z was at the game on Monday.
Oh.
And they cut to Jay-Z in the booth, and it was funny. Buck was... Oh. I like Buck. Jay-Z happened to be making himself, like pouring himself a cognac or something. And and Buck was like, well, it looks like Jay-Z is pouring himself a refreshment. And then Aikman's like, I guess I'll just address this right now. I see some people online saying there's a resemblance between me and Jay-Z. And then I was like, what is that? Because I missed that Tory and the meme thing.
Yeah.
What do you got, Eric?
It's been for a couple years.
Ah.
Is in the house tonight. Reaching for a refreshment.
Yeah. There's a meme that's going around. People think that's my doppelganger, me and Jay-Z. How about that?
And you would think like Aikman's a good old boy from Texas or Oklahoma or whatever, and Jay-Z is this iconic black rapper from Brooklyn, but they do.
They really look alike.
They really do look alike.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's what's happening in the news. All right. Let's get to, before we sign off, the primetime games. This is how we do it.
Do it.
We're going to Jags and Saints.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Montel Jordan pickup for me there.
Oh.
That's okay, though.
Yep.
We don't need to do it. I just thought you were about to, so I laid out for you there.
I didn't know what I was supposed to pick up. I wasn't this picking up what you were doing.
All right. Jacksonville Jaguars at Seamless. New Orleans Saints. Prime Video is where you see this. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, Connie. You, of course, are the anchor of all coverage on NFL Network for Thursday Night Football. You are meticulous in your preparation.
I am.
As you've been digging through the crates on these two teams, what do you keep coming back to as what makes this game interesting?
Well, obviously, Trevor Lawrence. Like, we don't know whether or not he's going to start. He's day-to-day at this point, and he
They're trending upward. They're saying it's looking good.
Like,
it's
positive.
It'd be a little surprising if he didn't.
Exactly. But how healthy will he be is the question. So for me, I'm looking at Travis Etienne and thinking they will obviously try and hopefully use him and lean on him for whoever the quarterback is. Hopefully it's Trevor Lawrence. But the problem is the Saints are really good against the run. They've limited opposing offenses to 69 rushing yards per game this year. They haven't allowed a rushing or a passing touchdown to a running back yet. DeMario Davis is so good, and that's someone else to watch on the injury report. I don't know today, Wednesday, if he practiced, but he was listed as a non-participant Monday and Tuesday. So just like a couple things to watch there. But you know what's funny here is that Doug Peterson has never lost a game on a Thursday. And I just kind of thought
that was interesting. He's 7-0, and there's no other coach that comes even close to that. He's the only coach in the NFL with 5-plus games on Thursday Night Football that is undefeated in the history of the league.
Right, and this is potentially a revenge game for him for the path not taken. As Saints fans will remember, the Saints, when they went through kind of a schmockery of a coaching search before settling on Dennis Allen.
It's a schmockery?
I don't know. I'm just making up words. Interviewed Doug Peterson on a Zoom. They didn't want him to, they didn't fly him out. They didn't feel like medium in person. This is not peak COVID or anything. There were plenty of coaching interviews in person going on there. They're like, we'll talk to the Super Bowl champion on a Zoom, and then we're going to hire the coach who has a career record right now, I believe, of 18-46.
A little revengey. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. And I don't think it's
stupid.
It's not excusable. I will say there was this era society-wise right after COVID where a lot of different like sectors were like, can we get away with stuff now and save some money? Like, remember...
Right, can we get away with not bringing the guy in we're not going to hire anyway, so let's just do it on Zoom. But that's almost like dollars and cents
decisions, and there was talk of, and Connie, you were a capital B broadcaster, there was talk about, let's stop sending... announcing crews two games on road trips, such as put them in studios. Mm-hmm. It worked during COVID, and thankfully there was a lot of pushback in some of that stuff, and all of it went away. Greg, you're raising your hand.
Point of order. I always I strive to be accurate on this program. Dennis Allen is 18-41 as an NFL head coach.
Remarkable.
Not 46, so.
Remarkable.
Okay.
Just
good correction.
I will also note that the New Orleans Saints are just a half game out of first in the NFC South as we approach Thursday Night Football. So
it's a good game.
They are not a flashy team. They haven't been an exciting team, but they have been competitive. Their defense has been good and sometimes great this season, and the offense needs to pick it up, I think. But I don't, like you mentioned, Mark, that you see the Saints as maybe the best team in the division. I don't necessarily disagree.
Yeah.
I think that it's...
Wow.
It doesn't mean I think I'm high on the Saints, but they kind of smell like a team that's either going to win 8 or 9 games, and 9 might do it.
I guess, like, all those teams are so incomplete to your wanting to fork the whole division and send them into hyperspace. But I think when you think about Thursday Night Football, this thing seems to happen every week where it's like there's this sort of sell... If the home team is like vibing and, like, they led to victory. It's like there's this sort of coronation of like everything's great all over again. Uh-huh. Like we're celebrating them. It's this island game before the real Sunday games. And it's like I just was like thinking driving down here, like I have a feeling like the Saints defense is going to have this night where they might make life really difficult. If it is Trevor Lawrence and if it's not, like, just really difficult for the whole offense. C.J. Beathard is like he's not incompetent, but it's just like Trevor Lawrence is what makes them special in so many ways. I think Travis Etienne too, but this is a team really good against the run, like you said. The Saints have not, they like even in that game against Tampa Bay, where Baker Mayfield made a bunch of plays, I still felt like the Saints secondary was pretty nasty. Like just like that's sort of been their DNA for years. They haven't allowed a passer to cross 275 yards in 32 straight games. And so I think, you know, if you look at like that Chiefs game, for instance, that the Jaguars, there were a lot of drop passes in the end zone, but it's like they've had a couple games where they've been imperfect and they've made mistakes. And it's like you either get Calvin Ridley or you don't. He's been lesser against like man coverage, and the Saints want to do that. I think like this is just going to be a Saints defensive night, tight game where Jacksonville, they're a little bit off their, a little bit off the ball. Well, I almost did, but it's, here's the thing.
I almost went the other way.
I cannot trust Derek Carr. So I feel like they're going to score. It's going to be like, can I see this being like 21 to 18 or something?
I am thinking or have thought about locking up the Jags, but as we're taping, we don't know Trevor Lawrence. I hear everything you're saying, but they're one of the worst pass rushes in the league. Their pass rush win rate, their pressures, all that. And Trevor Lawrence with time, to me, that's dangerous, assuming he plays. And the key for the Jags this year is, you're right, their offense, their passing attack specifically, is less than we expected. It's a little less than last year, actually. They're not a top 10 by any advanced metric passing attack. They've been pretty uneven, but their defense has been better than their offense. They're leading the league in forced turnovers, and maybe that doesn't keep up, but I thought this was going to be one of the worst defense in the league, and I'm thinking, like, how was I so wrong about this Jaguars defense? Number one, Josh Allen's having a career year. Mm-hmm. This is the best year Josh Allen's ever played. Number two, they are a great run defense week after week, and Trayvon Walker is a disappointing player overall, but he's a great run defender, and they have all these big guys up front, and then they're getting some big production out of guys they gave a lot of money to last year, and they were a little lesser last year. Foye Aluakon was good last year. Now he's been fantastic at linebacker. Darius Williams was a big problem last year. He's played well at cornerback. They're probably without their best cornerback, Campbell, this week. Unfortunately, he got injured. But they're getting a lot of good play. And so a good defense against this Saints offense, I like the Jags.
They'll have Buster
game.
Brown in there for Tyson Campbell this week. So that's going to be interesting.
I always want to say Tavon Campbell. I don't know
Tyson.
What, you know, and so that's why I just avoid it.
Chris Olave. But also, just real quick with the Jags, their schedule has been wild because they did the back-to-back games in London, then they didn't have a bye, so they played the Colts, and now they're on a short week for Thursday Night Football. So I feel like they're also just like dying to get to the bye week.
But
they chose that. They've gotten there more than any other franchise, and they didn't want to do it, and it worked. I think you can beat the Colts.
You can hassle the Saints offensive line, which has been bad, and they've got a lot of injuries. They may have another person in there this week. It's like that's one place where the defense you just talked about might thrive.
There's something about the Saints that doesn't show up in the numbers, and that's, I think, at their core, there's something's not right about this team. You see the way that last game ended with Carr throwing to nowhere for
four straight
plays, and the coaching and the players, and it's like they benched Trevor Penning, their first round pick, and he found out through an article, like on a pay website with sources. Like,
that's how he found
New
out.
Orleans football. It's like, it's all a little
behind a paywall.
It's just like, well, it is like one of those.
He went
local.
Behind the paywall.
I don't know. That's how he found out.
Even worse.
Yeah, that's worse.
Like, come on. Come on.
Sunday Night Football. One of the best games of the year, potentially. It has that potential. I don't want to put the jinx on it. You never know with these primetime matchups, but the Miami Dolphins are 5-1 and
Miami
are looking to rewrite the record books in terms of their offensive output. And now they get the Philadelphia Eagles. And they get the Eagles in Philly in primetime. And Connie, it's not just the Eagles, 5-1, defending conference champions. They're an angry Eagles team, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They are furious about what happened at the Meadowlands on Sunday afternoon. And that's almost, if you want to take any positive out of that, this is the kind of mode you want the Eagles in for this titanic matchup.
Yeah, I because the rest of their schedule, too. Like, they're about to go into a gauntlet.
It's brutal. It's the hardest schedule in the NFL, I think,
The Dolphins this week, and then games coming up against the Cowboys, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Niners. I mean, if they're going to
the
get
Seahawks
a wake
are
up
in there, the
call,
Cowboys
we
again.
Fork them?
Listen, the Eagles cannot lose this week wearing Kelly Green.
Ooh,
that is just
okay.
Like not going to happen on Sunday Night Football against the Dolphins. I don't like the vibes right now. But also last week they had so many guys that were injured and
they're banged up.
Yeah, when they lost Lane Johnson, like they weren't able to run the ball. They never really got into a rhythm at all. And that's the key here, and it always is for Philadelphia, like run the ball more. But to keep Tua and this offense off the field, you just have to play some type of ball control.
Here's the concern. Well, it sounds like, number one, Baldy comes out of nowhere to say that he's been hanging out with Lane Johnson at his house or something.
Oh, he always does.
Yeah. And so Lane Johnson sounds like he's going to play, according to Baldy. If you're a competent secondary, there's a high percentage chance you get frazzled against this passing attack, and they've got Bradley Roby dealing with a shoulder injury.
Who they just signed and like had to play starter snaps.
Right. Avante Maddox, Justin Evans on IR, Reed Blankenship, Eli Ricks banged up. So it's like they literally, like Howie Roseman's like scouring the waiver wire, just trying to find anyone to fill the scheme. And it's like that to me is, I feel like Mike McDaniel could probably
Slay should be back,
work with
though.
That.
Darius Slay should be back to play with
He
James
had very
Brad
promising
Barry.
Words that he would come back. Yeah.
And hopefully Jalen Carter. But when you looked at the Eagles coming into the season, you thought, where is the weakness on this entire roster? It's in the middle of the field on defense. Mm-hmm. It's the linebackers and the safeties. And then Blankenship has actually been kind of great. So that's a big loss. And that's where the Dolphins win. So that is very concerning to me that on all those crossing routes and everything over the middle of the field and picking on linebackers, that's where they win. And yet, you know, I still want to see what Miami looks like against Philadelphia, because both these teams have had quite easy schedules overall. And the Dolphins, especially other than that Bills game, has had a pretty soft schedule overall. So here's a tougher matchup. You know, when they played the Patriots, they were slowed down a little bit. Here's a tougher matchup, especially on the defensive line, for this offensive line to try to pass protect. I know Tua gets rid of the ball quickly, but they've been great run blocking too. Like, I'm so impressed by just the way they've coached up this group up front for Miami. This is another level, though, because this Eagles defense has played pretty well against the run all year.
Here's some news around the Eagles. A couple of items, actually. First, Julio Jones, the 7-time Pro Bowler, he signed with the team. On Tuesday, they're dealing with issues. Quez Watkins on injured reserve, Marquez Holloway, and Desmond Patton. Also worked out on Monday. And so he joins the fray behind A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith.
That's fun.
Who, by the way, Devonta, yes, it is fun. Although, you know, I hate kind of Julio hanging on like this, but I also understand it's his right to. Devonta Smith has been a little underwhelming this year.
Uh-huh. Rob.
Connie. He had a terrible job. Potentially, they had a couple spots where they could have really won that game. Smith might have a touchdown if he doesn't drop that ball all by himself over the middle in the second half against the Jets. He needs to up his game, and maybe they get something out of Julio. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in the red zone, because that's where they've really struggled. They have only scored touchdowns on 45.5% of their trips to the red zone, so maybe... Julio Jones has some type of like career renaissance. We didn't really see it with the Titans. We didn't really see it with the Bucks, but maybe this time around.
Mm. Do you think they miss like, because I mean, Shane Steichen, obviously now we're finding out like he's great, and you don't ever know what's happening with like when your head coach is an offensive minded guy and you got the coordinator like Brian Johnson, he's known Hurts forever. We've talked about it's going to be so smooth, but it's like, I feel like the play calling in certain situations, I kind of liked how they got out of a jam with the run game early in the year, but it was because the pass game was a little hinky, and it's like, I feel like they're missing a little sauce from a year ago, a little juice.
They're not as explosive.
Jets frustrated them at the end.
That game is, I kind of stand by what I said, that I didn't think that Hurts was terrible for most of that game, but obviously the third down throw was miserable. And then on fourth down, I got to put a little bit on the play calling. The final possession, I mean, you have Jalen Hurts, who's like this incredible athletic talent, and they're just, you know, they could have gashed the Jets potentially on a scramble at some point, and then they throw a basically up for grabs ball on fourth down. It was just a very weird, and I guess it was a bit emblematic of any frustrations around Philly in general, how they handled the end of that game.
Want one fun note?
Please.
From our NFL research package,
yes,
which no longer is produced on paper but sent as a PDF, so that's how I find it.
I miss it on paper.
I would like a Google Doc, a living one. I've talked to the research department about
because
this.
When you try to copy and paste,
what
from
the heck?
I know.
It's like formatted,
it's a disaster.
Like a nightmare.
Guys, take it offline.
All right, but anyways, you could print it.
It could not matter less to the audience.
I don't even know where printers
everything
are
being said here.
This was, I'm sure we all saw the movie, but this was the Super Bowl matchup in Ace Ventura: Pet Detective.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
That's when Dan
like
Marino
when
was
like
kidnapped.
That. exactly.
Ahead of the game.
Yeah, his lone starring role in the film, I believe.
I do wonder...
The climax of that film...
Weird.
Did not age well.
No.
I'll just say that.
I don't even remember the climax.
You're so right.
Yes, it did not.
I have not really bought into this Vic Fangio Miami defense. It's been quite disappointing on balance, but their schedule hasn't really shown many chances for us to see what they can be. But I do think you can run on them. I mean, you watched that Panthers game early last season, and Chuba Hubbard is kind of gashing them on the ground, and that's the recipe against Fangio defenses. And it's interesting to think that Fangio was in the building there prepping for the Super Bowl, working for the Eagles last year, and now here he is in Miami. He could have potentially been the defensive coordinator for this Eagles team. It didn't end up working that way, and their pass rush hasn't been great, so I do wonder if the Eagles kind of return to that early season pounding that they've been doing. And they've had more of these condensed formations, and they haven't been as explosive. They're like leading the league, I think, in plays per drive, but it's not as many yards and certainly not as many points. So they're like kind of a plodding team, but I think going heavy is what you want to do.
Good game.
Against this Dolphins
team. They might not have
team.
Xavien Howard.
And
either.
I do believe in this Eagles team coming off a loss. Even going against the best offense we've seen in a long time. I'm locking up the Eagles.
Wow, that's quite a lock. That's good for you, Greggy.
You know what? I think, Greg, I think you have an interesting pointer because, like, first of all, I looked up, like, the Dolphins. They're fourth per PFF against the run, which threw me because of Chuba Hubbard and what happened early in that game. But here's if you look at their schedule, they have 5 wins. They're awesome on offense. There's no question about it. It's not a fraud on any level. But they wiped out the Patriots, the Broncos, the Giants, and the Panthers. We just forked 3 of those teams and talked about a fourth there. I mean, or all of them. We just forked all of those teams. They're the 4 worst teams in the league.
It's a show me something for both teams, I think, because the Eagles' schedule has also been soft. And I don't feel great about this. It's just one of those weeks where, to me, there's not an obvious one, so I'm just going with the gut. I mean,
I like it.
I still want to know about Trevor Lawrence. It was going to be one of these 2 games.
Kind of want to go into a lock-off on this, but the stakes would be so high. And, you know, it's tough. Sunday Night Football is a tough watch for us, the way the setup is.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on, Colleen.
Yeah.
That has no impact on the result.
For me, it does.
Yo, you want to be plugged in. I get that.
Micah Parsons has a podcast.
Okay.
It is called The Edge with Micah Parsons.
Oh, what's he saying?
I want you to answer to Parsons on behalf of your favorite team. Go ahead.
I just don't condone the bashing of Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys and have the same energy for the Eagles. So we want the same energy for everybody because there's a whole bunch of bashing when it's Dak Prescott, but not the same when it's the Eagles.
Well, that's what happens when you're America's team. So you have to deal with all of the heat that you get in the spotlight. And that is the contract that you signed with Dallas and Jerry Jones, Micah.
Right, and like one team reaches the Super Bowl.
Well, hello,
multiple
Dolly.
Multiple times in a decade, and one doesn't sniff.
Good night, Nancy.
I just got like a snapshot into a John Gonzalez and Colleen fight, and it does not seem like a fun vibe for Johnny.
Everyone's got a podcast.
I just flashed to my mom.
The Edge with Micah Parsons on Bleacher Report. There's the credit there. All right, let's move to Monday Night. But you just put that guy underground. When that gets back, look, you're like hyperventilating.
No,
you're
I'm
so
like
mad.
Now I'm sweating.
Came at the wrong.
I mean, he didn't come too hot. Even I was expecting.
I know what he's saying. It's like, you know, that was a bad loss, and the Cowboys spanked that same Jets team that just beat the Eagles. Why aren't people saying the sky's falling the same way they do with the Cowboys? Why
Greg
do you keep raising your hand today?
I want to answer your question.
But you could just answer. Go ahead.
I like this new etiquette from Greg.
Because Jalen Hurts had one of the greatest performances in Super Bowl history. That's why. Because the Eagles have shown that they can deliver in big spots. That's why. I mean, it's such an obvious answer.
Well, now Greg's getting all fired up.
You know what? Like, Michael Parsons, know the history of your own team. Like, why are you of all people asking this question? We all know the answer. It's not even an interesting conversation.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm pro Dak. I always kind of have Dak Prescott's back. I'm with him on that front. But like, that's the answer. Why?
Mike, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. How about that? How about we even that out a little bit?
Fine. You're on an island with America's team.
Dan Anglin for a home and home with getting after it. The Micah Parsons part.
All right, finally, let's try to be a little quicker here. Monday Night Football, the San Francisco 49ers traveling to Minneapolis to face the Vikings. The Vikings, of course, will be without Justin Jefferson, who's continuing to Covales after suffering that hamstring injury. That's not what people are going to be talking about, because we knew that. The question is, who will be playing for the San Francisco 49ers?
I think we have breaking news.
Okay, hit it.
Perhaps.
Is it breaking or developing?
It's a trade.
We try to
a get trade.
A trade update. Has happened.
All right, hit it.
And
wait for the...
We got to wait.
Spicy?
Especially because you're breaking it to us.
You blew Robert's mind.
Yeah, you try to let Eric know ahead of time, but
oh,
it's okay.
My bad.
It's okay. We can have that.
Wait, hold on. What's happening?
Wait, no. Wait, no.
We're waiting for the drop.
He's going to get there. I think he is. He seems to be really frazzled by this one.
Can I get a Tom Brokaw?
There will...
It is my
Tom Brokaw is different. What do we want here?
Breaking is it developing or breaking?
Well, yeah, it's breaking. It's breaking. Does it matter if it's from...
You get Brokaw.
Okay, on Tom Brokaw. Here's a report from...
Adam Schefter.
Go ahead.
A trade is going down. The Jets informed former Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman that he's being sent back to Kansas City in another late-round draft pick swap.
Wait a second. I threw that out as a joke last week, that he'd be going back to Kansas City.
You're listening.
Uh-huh. It's happening.
Wow. Okay.
Well, he was a healthy scratch 1 week, right?
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, that was breaking news, but...
The fortunes of both teams drastically altered by this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chiefs, it is a bit of a, obviously, an admission that things aren't going so well with their wide receiver core. They want to get something else in there to mix things up. It wasn't working out with the Jets. You never know with Hardman how his relationship and that would have worked out if Rodgers was involved. But once he was out and they just had to redo the offense, Hackett just lost any spot for Hardman. So, mm-hmm.
If anything, I was a Chiefs fan, I'd be a little disappointed because I was thinking they were a prime candidate to add a little higher octane wide receiver.
Maybe they will. You
just would think this might box them out, but you're right. Maybe they're not done. They know who Mecole Hardman is.
Jerry Judy stuff anymore.
Well, he's
I
out
know.
There and like.
Well, it's not an exhaustion with you, Marcus.
No, I the whole thing is exhausting. Just, but like you know, you need his 14 yards off 3 catches.
It was so perfect, Mecole Hardman going to the Jets because his nickname is Jet. He has a big chain that says Jet on it.
You
and
know what?
Now
Connie,
it's all blown up.
We did that Hard Knocks podcast. I never liked his vibe.
It wasn't a great vibe.
With the do-rag and the aviators and the very stern face and Tayshaun Gibson.
And it seemed like he was maybe a little mean to Zach Wilson at times. That's what
Don't be mean to Zach. All right, so the Chiefs had someone.
He did catch 59 passes for 693 yards in 2021 as a 23.
He will probably win the AFC Championship game.
Well, because he's on that team. Yeah, he will.
Yeah, there's a chance that he will. All right, Niners at Vikings. Anyway, getting back to... Thank you for that, Colleen.
Yep.
Getting back to the point, who will be playing for the Niners? So Christian McCaffrey reports out there that he dodged a serious injury. He had the oblique and rib issue in the loss to the Browns. So there's a chance that he will play. Same thing is being said about Deebo Samuel, who suffered a shoulder injury. They believe he may be in the mix. And also it was...
Trent Williams.
Also, the injury he sustained, not believed to be serious, and he could be in the mix for Mondays. A lot up in the air there, and quite frankly, I think that matters a lot because they're not the same team. You take those three key pieces out of it, and Purdy coming off a humbling loss to the Browns.
Well, and not the same team as Minnesota, that without Justin Jefferson, I don't know, that they beat the Bears, but concerning, probably like the worst win they've had, or one of the worst showings, frankly, with this coaching staff, and like, they just look to me like a team that's like, we don't have our best player, and we have done nothing to prepare for that in a way that would surprise who we're playing.
Well, they won, though, Mark. They won.
But they looked lost at sea without Jefferson.
They did win, and I'm not taking that portion of it away. There's no argument for that. But, like, you played a defense that, talk about lost at sea. The Bears have been inviting everyone to get well against them, and, like, Kirk Cousins wasn't terrible in or anything. They do seem the one thing they do consistently every week is either turn the ball over or come very close to turning the ball over and get lucky if they don't. And I think you almost need to score on, say, like 80% of your drives for a chance to beat the Niners.
Right. It's hard to imagine them protecting well. I'll be interested when the 49ers have the ball. It just sounds like Debo's probably playing in this game. McCaffrey is the one that's in, and Trent Williams is probably playing in this game. And McCaffrey's one we might not know until Monday night. For all you fantasy owners, you probably you got Jordan Mason on your bench or something like that in case something happens. I want to see, though, you know, coming off Purdy's worst game as a pro, you could throw the the playoff win over the Cowboys in there was similar. I didn't think he was as disastrous, you know, watching the game as I expected. It, tough weather situation, really played a fine first half, a totally normal Brock Purdy half, and then a couple poor plays in the second half. But they're a team, Minnesota, likes to play a lot of man coverage. I know they don't have the cornerbacks that the Browns have, but they love to blitz about 50 to 70% of the time. So be prepared for that. And if you can heat up Purdy, they showed last week, the Browns, that quick pressure got him to be a little scrambled. But when I went back to watch it, I was like, that wasn't even that bad of a bad game, as bad games go. And I don't think they'll have those sort of problems because the Vikings don't have the cornerbacks that the Browns have.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, for me, I'm looking at the fact that the Vikings struggled against one of the worst defenses in the entire league, and they almost lost that game. They were gifted those turnovers from Tyson Bagent, and like they just, without Justin Jefferson and no run game, like they missed Dalvin Cook. They missed any semblance of a running back there because Alexander Mattison's just like not it. No Adam Thielen, of course, this year, too. It just seems like when you take Jefferson out of it, then what's the identity? What do they have? And if you almost lose to a bad Bears team, like you're going to, I don't like it for them against the Niners.
Yeah, 49ers are favored by 7 in this game. I think the Rainmaker needs to take a week off, just enjoy the victory last year. But man, 7.
Take a victory lap.
I know it's in Minnesota, but I like that for the 49ers coming off a loss.
Yeah, I kind of like that. The Vikings hanging around in prime time at home here. I don't pick them to win the game, but with the Niners not 100%, and even if McCaffrey does play, you would imagine maybe they would have him featured a little less, which takes away from them. We'll see.
Also, like, he has so many touches this year. I know Travis Etienne, of all people, is leading the NFL in touches. Kind of shocking. But McCaffrey is in those games like late in the fourth quarter when they have a 3-score lead. Let's think about January a little bit and think about this Vikings team and think about our great running attack, which can do fine with Jordan Mason and Elijah Mitchell. Maybe give your boy CMC a week off.
Okay, there you go. We will have the rest of the Week 7 preview on our Thursday podcast with our draft. Colleen, how are you, by the way?
What a time. Oh, I'm great. Yeah thanks for asking.
Yeah, we got Red October with the Phils. Uh-huh. Yeah, you just did a week of Good Morning Football in New York.
Yeah, that was fun.
You were in England immediately prior to us. Uh-huh. Anything, any takeaways from that?
I would like to move there, and I had the best weather ever.
I heard.
The game was so nice. I was getting sunburned at one point. Like, it was beautiful. But I am really nervous about this week because during pregame for Thursday Night Football, the Phillies will be playing game 3.
That's a tough one.
So I don't know how I'm going to handle it.
Do you do the iPad under the glass?
I think I have routine? To. Mm. Yeah, because I can't wait.
Or do you
wait.
Go dark?
Yeah,
then,
no one's going to. The Oilers will be coming left. Yeah.
You
right.
could just game cast it. You know, you could just sort of track it play by play. That's if painful. You wanted to be more.
I've done it. No that's way. Not pleasant.
Yeah. So. Plus, you know, you're throwing in Steve Smith, his first appearance since Judy Gate.
No,
that's
he's
a,
not.
That's a powder keg.
It's just Cam Wolf.
Good program, though, Greg.
This week.
You can edit that out.
Steve Nogarefolo. I don't know. They have a bye week.
They're watching the Phillies game probably together at a tavern.
Well, Cam Wolf is also a Phillies fan.
Wrong two people on the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of
we get the maybe we have a meeting internally here. We should probably get Steve on the show this week after he made news last week.
Yeah, that'd be good. I don't
think so.
All right, let's call that to order.
Well, he is in London, so that might be a factor.
Bill?
Maybe.
Bring him back.
Did you guys have fun?
Yeah, we had a great time. We saw Steve on the field. He was obviously very friendly, very nice guy to us. So
yeah, he's a very nice guy.
We're not on the Judy hit list, and that's good. You don't want to be.
You never want to be on the wrong side.
No. All right. Good stuff, Connie. Great to have us all back together, and we have a special one. I'll just leave it right there. Next week with Colleen, a fan favorite episode coming up. So thank you to everybody. And Eric, great to see you again, too, bud.
Missed you guys.
Yeah, we missed you.
This
really
is a lot
did.
Easier doing this face-to-face, trust me.
You know
me.
What? This is beautiful. All right, till next time. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.